And that's a very important point to keep in mind, because this is a point that they will try to harp on in an effort to show the difference between them and all others. Well, we know Jehovah is God's name. We'll show you in the Bible. When we establish it in the Bible, and then you see that we're the only ones that refer to God as Jehovah, then you've got to concede the point that we're the only ones that know God. And of course, that's not the case. Now, going from Jehovah, I'm going to go to Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about the witness's view of Jesus Christ. Now, to us, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New. God the Father and God the Son are the same essence. They're both deity, and they're both of the same deity. But to the witness, that's not the case. Where the Shema says, "Hear, O Israel, our God, Jehovah is one Jehovah," and basically how it's stated using the Tetragrammaton, or "our God is one God," that is a concept of monotheism, which we agree with, of course, but we realize that this is a composite oneness. They, however, do not. And they believe that God, as Jehovah, is the one true God, and Jesus Christ is not deity. And we're going to look at some of the points that they would use to try to convince you that Jesus is not deity. First off, they might turn to Colossians chapter 1:15 or a similar verse to point out that Jesus was created, not eternal, but created. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1:15 real quick. Says here, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Now, they're just going to completely neglect looking at that first portion. He is the invisible image of the invisible God. And they're going to go straight to the firstborn of all creation. Now, obviously, if something's the firstborn, then it had to be spawned. It had to be created. Therefore, Jesus was created. He cannot be God because he had a beginning. And this is the point they're going to make here. And this is a point that would be easily made in our day and age using this verse, because we really do not have the same view of this term when it is used in reference to Jesus or others, the firstborn. Our view is basically limited to the idea of being the first spawned. Okay, if any of us referred to somebody as a firstborn, we would automatically have a picture of that person being the first baby born to their parents. But this isn't the case with the Jews in this day and centuries before. They had established a symbolism concerning the term firstborn. Firstborn was a position of priority, position of importance. It went way beyond being the firstborn into a family. I mean, yes, it was used that way. It could be used that way without any problem, but it was also used to designate first position of priority. As a matter of fact, just as the first portion of that verse points out Jesus being the image of the invisible God, so too verse 18 points out his supremacy in all things. This scripture this passage is obviously driving at Jesus' deity and supremacy. And that is why the writer Paul selected to refer to him as firstborn, because they knew that the Jews could identify with this concept of Jesus being referred to as the firstborn of creation, as Jesus, as Paul making reference to him as the most important and supreme being that there is. As an example of how this is used, because it is used in the scriptures and other contexts where you can use as a standard of comparison to make this point, it's used of animals and kings and such. Let's just take the example of King David. Now, if you're familiar with King David, you know that he was not the firstborn in his family. He had several brothers, of which he was the youngest. Furthermore, King David wasn't the first king, so you couldn't use symbolism of firstborn to refer to his kingship in terms of being the first king of Israel. Saul was first. Yet the Bible refers to David as firstborn. In Psalms 89, verse 27, we can look there. And this is referring to David, where it says, I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. Now, in terms of a chronological sequence, it couldn't apply. But it certainly was a point well taken by the Jews, because they realized that firstborn was a designation of supreme importance. And that is the way Paul uses it too. And that is the way, and it is something that the witnesses do not understand. It is something that many people would not understand without understanding how that was a term with a special meaning to the people of that day and age. Another point they might try to make in drawing a line between God, Jehovah, and Jesus, something lesser, is to point out how the Bible refers to God being much greater than Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it himself. John chapter 14, verse 28, he said, the Father is greater than I am. So they might try to go from that verse to asking you for an explanation of how can they be the same when Jesus himself states that the Father is greater than I. Well, the Bible itself points out how this difference came about. We can look at scriptures like Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, where we find that Jesus, in the position of God himself, willingly lowered himself to his earthly existence in order to do what needed to be done for us. He made a very supreme sacrifice on our behalf, and it required him to leave his heavenly position, his position of omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence and all that went with that sitting in the throne, in the seat of God, to come down to earth as a man. Why, the Bible even tells us that he was even lower than the angels when he was here on earth. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 states that. So there's no contesting, no need to contest the point that Jesus wasn't as great as God the Father, because the Bible makes that quite clear. But it's really not an issue. If anything, it is simply a manifestation of the extent to which Jesus went in his sacrifice on our behalf, leaving his heavenly throne to come and cage himself in the personage of a human being for the time of his ministry here on earth. But nevertheless, he was of the essence of God. He was before he came here. He was while he was here. And he returned to his position of exaltation when he died. Now that is a point that, as a witness myself, it's a very good point, okay, and it's very true, because he and the Father are one in essence, not just in mission. But that's the point that the witness will try to make using that scripture, because he will go on and say, yes, but look at the comparison Jesus makes when he says it. He says, I and the Father are one, just as he wants us to be one, okay. They're trying to make the point of, just as this church, we want to be one in spirit, one in unity. We're still individuals, separate, but our cause, we want it to be the same. And this is how they'll try to negate that scripture, is by putting it in that perspective. I did that myself as a youth. But the point is a true point, and that is what that scripture states.